You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Well, I want to try and go through the entire book of James just real quickly. A profoundly important instruction of God by His servant James. And minimize the commentating. You don't need comments from a commentator. The Epistle of James. This letter of James. Well, who was James? He tells us who he was. He was Peter's Pope. If there ever was such a thing as the first Pope, it wasn't Peter. Peter would have said, James is the Pope. He was the leader of that church in Jerusalem, that Peter was one of the chief elders, but the acknowledged Pope, if you would, the acknowledged head man within that church, the one that Peter was submitted to, was James. He grew up in the family of Joseph and Miriam, same family that the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in. Yeah, a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Amazing. And yet, what does James say of himself? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, and that's all of them. Israel only had 12 tribes, and we're somewhere in the middle of that. If we're truly born again, this is to us. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wow, we ought to really be joyful in this great tribulation, huh? In the abundance of temptations in the great tribulation. Count it all joy. We really should. If we were thinking right about it, we would count it all joy. See, God allows His people to be tested that if they would submit to the leading and way of His Holy Spirit of truth, those tests that they passed willingly determine their position in His eternal kingdom. And this is why we should count it all joy when we get these various tests, because they prepare us for our position in His eternal kingdom. A lot of people lose sight of that, but I believe that's what James was trying to cause us to be in continual remembrance. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, okay, do you have faith? Are you going to do it the way God said, just because God said so? That's the real thing, see? Are you going to do it that way? Are you going to do it the way God said, just because God said so? See, that's trying your faith. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If you're going to do it the way God said, no matter how it turns out, your patience will grow. Because a lot of times there's some real serious heavy-duty waiting involved. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and endure, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Does anybody lack wisdom? Anybody smart enough to know that you lack wisdom? You need a little bit of wisdom to know you lack wisdom. You need just a little bit of wisdom to know you lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, yes, 100% of human beings lack wisdom. The only one that didn't was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the only one that could say Satan had nothing in him. But all the rest of us, we lack wisdom. We could use a little more wisdom, couldn't we? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This great leader in the body of Christ, this great servant of God, gives us one of the most profound keys for understanding Scripture that there is. This verse 5, in this first chapter of James, is the most profound key that there is. There's two profound keys, and this one, I think, is still the most profound of all. Ask God. And it's no matter what shape you're in, ask God. And it shall be given him. Liberally. God will give it to you if you ask and believe, because God said so through James in this verse. Picking up the Bible to read it or study it without thanking God for this verse just is not right. And so we're going to stop right now and say, Father, we do thank you for this great promise. We confess our need of wisdom, that we lack wisdom. And we want to ask you, because we know you're the source of all true wisdom. And we're going to receive it because you said so. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for faith that's based upon your integrity. We just bless you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Don't fail to do that, child of God. When you pick up the Word of God, thank Him for that promise. But let Him ask in faith. 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 Determined to do what God said just because God said so. Faith. If God said it, that is the higher reality than what I can see or feel or hear or taste or touch. You gotta ask in faith. God cannot lie. God doesn't change. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We see so much double-mindedness nowadays. People are not single-minded. They're double-minded. See, because you've got the Holy Spirit in you, but you also have these demon spirits that you ought to keep under your feet with your gospel shoes on. I mean, you get them pared down as far as you can get them pared down this side of glory, you still got two demons in you. And this is what causes the people to be double-minded. The Holy Ghost, who resides in our spirit, will come out and help us on the battlefield, which is the mind or the soul. But the pride or vanity demon and the envy demon in us is going to be saying things, putting things into our mind. And you really see a lot of double-mindedness nowadays. Now, the psychologist, the science falsely so-called of psychology, would say it's schizophrenic. Well, everybody's schizophrenic. everybody hears at least three voices. And the difficulty comes in, and the job at hand, the task at hand, is to identify which those three voices, everybody's going to hear at least three voices. You're going to hear your own human spirit. One, two, three, you can count to three in your mind. You'll hear that voice. You'll hear these demon spirits of vanity, because you're a vain creature, same as I am. Everybody's a vain creature. Anybody that don't know they're a vain creature is ignorant. Anybody that doesn't know they're a vain, proud creature, or would say they're not a vain, proud creature, well, they'll lie about something else too. That's reality. You can hear your own human spirits, like count to three. You can hear these demon spirits, and you can hear the Holy Spirit. And they sound just alike. Until you compare it with what this more sure word says. Then you can tell who the Holy Ghost is and who this subtle counterfeiter is. Now, the subtle counterfeiter, he will give you a whole lot of things that sound kind of close to this King Jesus Version Holy Bible, but he'll twist it just a little bit. That's why we need this word. We can depend upon this word. But you see a lot of double-mindedness today, instability, unstable in all their ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah, sister. Anybody poor? Rejoice about it. Hallelujah. Are you of low degree? Do people look down at you? Do people look down upon you? Do people mock and scoff and scorn you? Are you humiliated by the people of this world? Hallelujah! Are you poor? Well, are you poor? According to the standards of this world, are you poor? Hallelujah! God'll lift you up. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he should pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. We're going to see a lot of this happening big time, real soon now. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. If you pass the test, you're going to be blessed. Blessings follow obedience, see? Curses follow disobedience. Count it a joy when you're tested, when you get the temptation, when you get the test, and then pass the test. Do it God's way. You'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. And if you love him, you keep his commandments, see? Oh, it all fits together. There's nothing complicated about this. See, this is what most so-called ministers do. Try to make this pure, simple word that a child can understand complicated. They feather their nest. They want you to think that you can't understand this unless they tell you what it really means. You listen, I'll tell you what, you get so confused. You just read this word. I'm glad you have an unction. An unction from the Holy One. You got the same teacher I've got. He is not going to confuse you. God is not the author of confusion. No, he's going to show you this word's just as simple for a child to understand. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And those that love the Lord keep his commandments, don't they? Yeah, even the fourth one. It starts with remember, and 9 out of 10 people never, ever remembered it. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. No, God may allow the temptation, but the temptation comes from the devil. The devil is the tempter. God is not the tempter. Come on. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Only God is good. Only God is perfect. Only Jesus Christ could say, Satan hath nothing in me. Nobody else could say that. That's why the demons manifested or they boogied when they saw him coming a mile away. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, we've got these lusts, and if we follow after the lust, it'll bring forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. This is why we ought to give thanks all the time. Rejoice evermore in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What good advice! Let every man, this is for us, every human being, ought to put this to work. A lot of things could be fixed if we would put this to work. Let every man be swift to hear. God gave you two ears and only one mouth, two eyes, only one mouth, two nostrils, only one mouth, two hands, only one mouth. Now think about it. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Meekness, the ability to endure insult without retaliating. Bondservants, let your master fight your battles. Bondservants, with ears to hear, let your master fight your battles. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. Is it going to make a difference 100 years from now? If it's not, it's superfluous. It's superfluity. You don't need it. It is not necessary. Lay it apart. Don't let it hinder you. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Meekness. See, the Holy Ghost is going to make you holy by reproving you. Don't kick, don't buck against the reproof. Receive it for what it is, an excellent oil. See, receive with meekness the engrafted word by the Holy Ghost, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This is the difference between a real person and a hypocrite. Do you ever think about that? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Say you're going to do something. Do it. Don't ever think about judging anybody for something that you haven't judged yourself on and made yourself able to give righteous judgment. Because if you do that which you judge another for, you're a hypocrite. And you just read Matthew 23 and see what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about that. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What's the mirror? The Ten Commandments. Take a look at those Ten Commandments. That's the mirror. And don't forget how far short we do come. I mean, you see, those Ten Commandments, he just lists the most egregious offense. I mean, there's a lot of downhill stuff from each of those. Take a look at that. That's your mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law. See, that law is perfect. Moses couldn't have made that up. The more you study the law, you see how perfect it is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. See, God is a God of freedom. He's a God of liberty. He is love. And so this law, this perfect law, that's what it is. Just 10 simple instructions in real love. 4, how to love God. 6, how to love our neighbor. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and continueth therein. See, that's it. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Now, we're going to hear what pure religion before God is. And if it's not in here, religion generally is a demon spirit. Generally, religion is a system whereby man believes he can make himself acceptable to God. That's what religion is, and that's the broad path to destruction. Normally, religion is a demon spirit. But there is a pure religion and undefiled before God. And the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Doesn't seem to be much pure religion right now. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Every human being was made in the image of God. God did not make any such thing as a second-class human being. And God most certainly did not make any not authentically human people. Thou shalt not kill, and that means don't do any of the lesser offenses that fall under that. Backbiting, Jesus said, is murder. Don't show respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. See, gay used to be a good word. I mean, it's pretty recent that gay was changed to mean sodomite. Gay was a good word, and it went for the better part of 2,000 years before it was perverted by the perverts to mean sodomite. It used to mean good. Now it means perverted sodomite. Isn't that something? And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. We're not talking about the perverted meaning of the word gay. We're talking about the true meaning of the word gay for the better part of 2,000 years. And you have respect to him that wears the good clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Poor people gotta have faith. Rich people don't. Rich people can use their money as a substitute for faith. Boy, that sure does nuke the old gain is godliness prosperity gospel, doesn't it? I tell you this, child of God, the command of the Lord is when they suppose that gain is godliness, God commands you to get out of there. from such withdraw thyself. That is the height of religious reprobation when they preach this prosperity gospel, gain is godliness. Here's the truth. Listen, my beloved brethren. God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. See, it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. But the poor, who are rich in faith, that which honors God, they're heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him. Yeah, see, poor people, they don't love money. They don't have any money to love. Poor people love the God who makes a way without money. Yeah, God can do that. He can make a way without money. It's amazing, you know. People just cannot bring themselves to send pure old cash money in the mail. Oh, what if something... What in the world is the difference? Look, if you're being faithful to God, what's the difference if it gets stolen or not? What's the difference? You did what God asked you to do. I mean, why do you do something anyhow? It's amazing, though. It's just an amazing thing. We see this. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Yep, that's the ones that do it. Who makes the lawsuits? People that have money and want some more money make the lawsuits. Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by which you are called? I was told in a letter from John Hagee's attorney one day that John was going to sue me. Isn't that funny? Glory to God. I count that all joy. And Bay can tell you, when I opened that letter and I saw that letter from John Hagee's attorney threatening to sue me, I just rejoiced in great joy. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now understand this now. We're all sinners. And it's not the degree of sin, brethren. It's the fact of sin. James really drives this home here. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You're still a sinner. You're still a transgressor, aren't you? Well, that's a really bad sin that guy did. Don't you rejoice if he finds grace? If he can manifest true fruits of repentance? For whosoever will keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. What about these people that never remember the commandment that God said to remember? What about them? They're in trouble. They're no better than the guy that gets caught doing some terrible thing. Sinners. Transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, and yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Amen. Sin is sin. Amen. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Hallelujah. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? You hypocrite! Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone, who needs flattery? Yuck! Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Well, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Glory to God. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe that. They know that truth and reality better than we do. They saw God face to face. Thou believest there's one God? Muslims, they get a big charge out of this. Thou believest there's one God? Well, look, every devil knows that better than the Muslims know that. Muslims got the wrong God. That's their problem. Lucifer is their God. You either got the right God or you got one of Lucifer's many little deceptive gods. But always, it's Lucifer. Lucifer is the one behind the false gods. Lucifer is the god of Freemasons. Lucifer is the god of Islam. Lucifer is the moon god. Doesn't make any difference what the god is. The Hindu gods, all of them are just different faces of Lucifer. Master counterfeiter. Now believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil's got enough sense to tremble. What's wrong with these human beings that don't fear God? But wilt thou, O vain man? Uh-oh, look at this. Who do you think he's talking to? Wilt thou, O vain man? Well, you can't be talking to me. Oh, listen, you say you ain't vain. What else you want to lie about? Look, God subjected the whole creation to vanity. Are you part of God's creation? I think you are. You're subject to vanity. Not willingly. No, he didn't want to do that. He did it in hope. He had the hope that you would look up out of your pits of vanity and see how worthy of worship he is. Worship that's worth anything has to come from a vain creature. You're a vain creature. But wilt thou know, O vain? I don't like that. I'm sorry. Look, you're going to be locked in your vanity if you don't recognize that you're a vain creature. If you're ignorant of the reality and the truth and the fact and the biblical truth that you're a vain creature, guess what? You just locked that vanity and pride demon in there and you threw the key away. You threw the key away. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. That old snake of vanity is going to draw in some others to build up some demonic strongholds in you. You can't get that vanity out. No, you can't. You got it. You're stuck with it this side of glory. You get it out in glory. But this side of glory, you're stuck with it. That's why you need your gospel shoes on. You can put that snake of vanity under your feet with your gospel shoes. Take a look at the cross. That's the answer to keeping that snake under your feet where it belongs. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You better understand this. Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. See, the works is the proof of your faith. That's how we prove it to ourselves. God knows whether you have real faith or not. The way you prove it to yourself is by the works that evidenced the faith. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. My brethren, be not many masters, as teachers. Don't strive to be a teacher. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. My brethren, be not many masters, teachers. Don't strive for that. Because God will hold you account for every word. Whew, that's scary. So it makes a wonder how there's any preachers, doesn't it? If they really understood this. My brethren, be not many masters, many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You see how this is personalized here? We. This James and that James will receive the greater condemnation if we dare fail to give truth by the Spirit of truth. We, that James and this James, will receive the greater condemnation. That scares the hell out of me. I don't know why anybody would preach this word. Well, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You have to. Whether you want to or not, you've got to. You must. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which are, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, I really do believe, brethren, that of the six instructions that God gave for us to make the Sabbath a delight, that one about not kindling fires, I believe that applies to go the extra mile in binding your tongue, that you do not gender strife on the Sabbath. Go the extra mile to keep your tongue out of starting a fire of strife. I really believe that's what it's about. Because of what James says right here, the tongue, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, a world of iniquity. The tongue is a world full of iniquity among our members. The tongue can do more damage than both our hands and feet kicking put together. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Ask God to help you. You better. You can't do it any other way. Ask God to help you. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God and even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. It ought not be this way. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No way. This is why I don't ever put up with somebody telling you that Constantine was a bad guy and Eusebius was a good guy. Eusebius was the one that gave Constantine all his bad ideas about religion. This is a profound truth. The same fountain doesn't send out of the same place sweet water and bitter. It's either going to come out good water or bad water. You go to a fountain, you get some water out of it, you're either going to get good water or bad water. Out of the same spring, you're not going to get both at the same time. Now, sweet water may turn bitter. Bitter water, yeah, it's possible to get some good rain and charge the aquifer. Bitter water can become sweet. But you're not going to get sweet, good, and bad water out of the same spring at the same time. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? I don't think so. Either a vine, figs. Can you get figs off a grapevine? I don't think so. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It's going to bring forth one or the other. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness, seek meekness, that ability to endure any insult without retaliation. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You get a false accusation, get quiet. Hear Jesus saying, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Oh yeah, it'll make you rejoice when you hear Jesus saying that. By his spirit, even your spirit. Get quiet when you're falsely accused. Listen for it. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now look, if it's going to be pure, it must be true. It cannot be pure if it's not true. That's where it starts. If the wisdom is from above, it's going to be true. That's what makes it pure. That's what you look for first. Don't go any further than that if it's not true. If it's not pure, you don't need to go any further. You don't have wisdom from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, then gentle, see? And then easy to be entreated, see? Then full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. How do they make peace? First it's pure, first it's true, then comes this other stuff. A lot of times you never can get past the first true and pure before they're poofed out in this crooked and wicked and perverse generation. Now, you want to know where wars come from? It's amazing how profound and how simple it is. You want to know where wars come from? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Good question. Where do wars come from? What causes wars? You know, wars are a sign of insanity. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust, the war in your members? You lust and have not. And see, people that have great wealth, they lust for more wealth. John D. Rockefeller, president of Standard Oil, couldn't spend all his money no matter how hard he tried. And when he was asked, how much money is enough, Mr. Rockefeller? A little more than what I've got. What a horrible trap the man is in. What bondage to lust and covetousness the man is in.
You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight war. You have not because you ask not.
This is where wars come from.
Covetous lust. America is going to war as an aggressor because of the covetous lust of the American people. And for the controllers of America who want to control the oil of the world, who want the world to continue to trade oil in nothing but dollars. It wasn't weapons of mass destruction that brought the aggressive forces of the United States upon Saddam Hussein, the king of Babylon. Saddam Hussein said he was going to trade oil in euros, just like the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, is saying. From whence come wars? See how true it is? And it's on that level of nation scale down to the individual, brother among brother scale. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. Oh, there's so much killing going on in the body of Christ. So much backstabbing and speaking behind your back. Yeah, no problem. You want to get in somebody's face, that's okay. But Jesus said you speak about them behind their back. It's murder. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight in war. Yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. This is why God doesn't hear you, that you may consume it upon your lust. God, you ask God for something to consume upon your lust. He's not going to answer that. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world... And see, this is what all these denominations are trying to do. They've got a 501c3 contract that precludes the Lord Jesus Christ from being Lord of their church. And they know the government's going to give anybody trouble that doesn't be nice to the homosexuals. The Antichrist is a homosexual. And it flows downhill. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Everybody will choose the world to go to hell with the devil, or God's voice. Of enmity with the world. Oh yeah, the world ain't gonna like you, child of God. Don't think it's strange when you walk in a room and everybody hates you. It's that Holy Ghost in you. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'm sorry, I didn't write this. You better understand this. Whosoever, who does that include? Everybody. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, and this is what everybody's doing. They're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I get so sick of it. Phony baloney. So nice and so full of feigned affection. A good friend of the world and a real good friend of God. No, you can't be that. It's one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust to envy? That's your scorpion. Do you really think the Scripture saith in vain? Do you think God doesn't know what He's talking about? God said we have a spirit of envy in us, every cotton pick in one of us. It's a scorpion we need to keep under our feet with our gospel shoes. Now, there's nothing in the Scripture that's said in vain. God don't say things in vain. You got a spirit of envy in you, just like I got a spirit of envy in me. And your gospel shoes can keep it under your feet where it belongs. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that is dwelleth in us lusts to envy? No, it doesn't. You got a spirit of envy, same as I, same as every other human being. But you can put it under your feet where it belongs, with your gospel shoes. But he giveth more grace. See, God gives the grace. The problem is we frustrate the grace. But he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, and this is how it is. And Jesus showed us, you know, when the rich young ruler came to him, so full of pride, oh, I've done all this since I was a child. Ain't I good? This thou lackest. This one thing. He loved him. He loved him. He told him the truth. This one thing thou lackest. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then you come follow me. The rich young ruler went away sad. Oh, but God giveth more grace. Hallelujah. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. See, when they come to you in pride, you give them the law. They come to you in humility and brokenness, grace. Grace. We love mercy. We found so much of it. We have to love it. Just like the Mormon. The Mormon is so proud that he believes he's going to be a god like Jesus Christ with his own planet to rule over like Jesus rules over earth. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give them any grace. No, I'm going to say, I bind you, Satan. I bind you, Mormon demoniac. And I'm going to say it as loud and publicly as I can. I don't care if they think I'm crazy. I'm loving them. And anybody that talks nice to the Mormon is not loving them. You give the law, you lay it down to the Mormon. And grace to the humble. Show me a humble Mormon. I'm sure there is one someplace. Mormons with a whole lot of false humility. I can't believe you can really think you can be a god like Jesus with your own planet to rule over and call that humble. If that's not polar opposite of humble, I don't know what it is. But God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resist the proud. That's what I do as a man of God. I resist those proud Mormons with every decibel the Holy Ghost gives me. God resist the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil. Don't try resisting the devil before you're submitted to God. See, this is the reason most people don't resist the devil, because they're not submitted to God. They know what's going to happen. Them devils are real. Them Mormons got devils in them. I'll tell you this. Those Muslims, they got devils in them. I'll tell you this. And most of them are not little chumps. And you ain't going to sound like a real Christian to most phony baloney Christians. If you're a real Christian, you ain't going to sound like a real Christian to most phony baloney ones. Because you're submitted to God. You ain't submitted to their false ways and their feigned affection and their phony baloney ways of one foot in the world and one foot of the kingdom. You're submitted to God. And you let the chips fall where they may. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Then you can resist the devil. See, them devils are in trouble. If you're submitted to God, child of God, you got the Holy Ghost in you. When this whole world is filled with devils, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, guess who's got the upper hand? But you got to submit yourself to God first. Or it's going to be like the seven sons of Sceva. And see, this is why the church teaches that Christians can't have devils. They know they don't have the power to cast them out because they're not submitted to God, and they know they're not submitted to God. That's why they all teach that stuff. They can't cast the devil out. Oh, they can say, I cast this devil out and see the manifestation stop because the devil's going out to get in seven more worse because they haven't touched the ground. They haven't begun to find out the sin that needs to be repented of before they cast that devil out. The seven sons of Sceva. They watched Paul casting those devils out. Hey, that's a good way to make a good living, casting them devils out. They went up to the first demoniac to try and check it out on. We adjure you, by the Jesus that Paul preaches, to come out of him. Well, those demons in that demoniac said, well, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And all seven of them got beat and stripped naked and went away bruised and naked. See, that's why the church teaches this lie that Christians can't have devils. When the Spirit of God, when the Word of God that we just looked at tonight says, you got two of them, I got two of them. We get them all way pared down to where we don't have any left. They cannot be driven out. When we're fully submitted to God, guess what? We still got two of them. You got two, I got two. But you can put them under your feet. Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on those snakes and scorpions. That snake of pride and vanity, that of scorpion of envy. Jesus said, I've given you authority to trample on them. Put your gospel shoes on. Walk on them. Stomp them. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then, go resist the devil. Oh, dishonors God, brethren. This is my well-pleasing to God. When us little dirtballs make the devil flee from before us. Dishonors God. When us little dirtballs put his enemy in full boogie retreat. Glory to God. Then go resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. You purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Hallelujah. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Glory to God. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, don't do that. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. For there is one lawgiver, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, if it be the will of the Lord, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's profound. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's very profound. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl. For your miseries that shall come upon you. The rich man, they're going to get it. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, and your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of your labors, which you have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and cries of them which have reaped or entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You've lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You've nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The cavalry's coming. The king is coming. What a cavalry he leads. He doesn't even need a cavalry. The brightness of his coming will be the whole nine yards. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord.
Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience waiting for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Everything we see, the effect of every vision, is now at hand. Grudge not one against another. You got a grudge? Anybody got a grudge against a brother? I got a whole bunch of people say they're Christians. They got grudges against me. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You say, well, I got a right to. Yeah, you do. You got a right to go to hell, too. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. So, well, what about the way you attacked Monty Judah? I didn't attack Monty Judah. I attacked his heresy. Well, to God he'd repent. You read it. You see who's separated from whom. I did my duty of love. I love that man. And I still do. I pray for that man. Still do. You read that. You see if he ain't got a grudge against me, huh? Glory to God. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Hallelujah. Job was faithful. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he judged old Satan. Oh, glory to God for the testimony of Job and how he judged Satan and glorified God. And God blessed him in the end, didn't he? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He's a merciful God. Oh, he's merciful. But above all things, my brethren, swear not. Don't swear. Just don't do it. You're a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth personified. Your yes means yes. Your no means no. You don't need to swear. Your yes means more than the heathen swear or the so-called phony baloney Christian swear. You don't swear if you're a real Christian. One thing you notice when God really grabs hold of you, when you really get born again, he cleans up the way you talk. A lot of times people accuse me of being a potty mouth because I say damned. I say hell. Those are biblical words. But you don't hear me saying not biblical words very often, do you? I tell you what, before the Lord Jesus Christ grabbed hold of me, I curled the wallpaper off the wall with my foul mouth. I'm not proud of it. I thank God. I give glory to God. He'll clean up your mouth. He'll clean up the way you talk. But above all things, my brethren, swear not. Look, every time the government wants you to sign a piece of paper, they're wanting you to make a false swearing, an oath. Be careful what you sign. Don't sign those papers. Put an X there. Say, I sign this under duress. I'm not signing this. This is, you can count this as a signature if you want to, but I don't agree with this. God hates these false oaths. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea. Your yes means yes, Christian. And your no means no, Christian. Lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders.
of the church. Elders, you see that S? Plural, more than one. There ought to be two elders anointing with oil so that neither one of the two gets puffed up about it. Each one of the other elders thinks God honored the prayer of the other elders rather than thinking that God honored his own prayer. That's why there's an S on that word. You see that? I hope you see that. Because it ain't your prayer. I've seen God raise the dead. I've seen him put new bones in people's legs, put new hearts in them, cure every kind of cancer that medical science says is incurable. And I couldn't heal a fly if he had a headache. I've watched God do these things. You see the manifestation of the power of God, it ought to humble you. It ain't your power. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. The person has got to ask for the elders. Let him call for the elders. They don't ask, you don't up and volunteer. They got to have some faith. This is all done by faith. People know God said so, and then they want this manifestation of what God said to give glory to God in their life, even through their affliction. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them. See, there it is again. There's your second witness. Them. Not just one elder. Them. Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. What normally happens? Some minister wants to go up there like a Benny Hinn. You have the Benny Hinn show.
Well, doesn't Benny Hinn have great powers of healing?
Oh, my God, what an abomination. What an absolute abomination. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. You see that? And the prayer of faith. Those who are fully determined to do what God said just because God said so, their prayers get heard. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. All right, that's the first thing that ought to be dealt with. Seek for the word of knowledge of how the ground has been given for the spirit of infirmity. To take back the ground through repentance. And get that spirit of infirmity cast out for the glory of God. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults. Get your sins confessed before you expect to be healed. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Because God hears him. If God will hear you, if God will hear you, he's only got one answer, yes and amen. Elias was a man subject to like passions, as we are. He was a passionate man. You wouldn't like Elijah. He was a very passionate man. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. This is the reason I tell people, yeah, I think Elijah's running around. I think Moses running around. Because that prophesied 3.5-year drought judgment, which was the sign, one of the two signs of Elijah. That's history. It's never been like that before. I don't think it'll ever be like that again. There were rocks on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that were exposed to air that hadn't been exposed to air since the time of the flood of Noah. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any one of you do err from the truth, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one converted, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. What glorious truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.